Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Beau is with me. It is Wednesday, May 8th, 2013. We're recording a little bit later in the week than we usually do because of our usual schedule snafus. This time it was my fault.
No. Sunday.
Sunday was you, and then Monday you couldn't do it. Monday, Tuesday, I couldn't. You were on a sailboat. Well, that's a
good
excuse.
Well, I'm not a sailboater. I mean, but the interesting story is that Juana's, her father's first cousin, okay, who was like a second uncle, okay, actually went on a one-year trip on a sailboat. They went to Europe and to South America, and they're on their way back home to Massachusetts, okay, since he's a professor up there at university.
Okay.
And so is his wife. And they stopped here. And so we went over and we're hanging out. I mean,
I would be very, very happy if I was in a position where I could just take a 1 year trip around the world.
Sabbatical. Yeah. Sabbatical. You know, that was his sabbatical. I mean, he took a whole, you know, he'd spent the whole year with his wife and his 22-year-old son.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so that was, they were, I asked his wife, are you looking forward to get back? No.
Yeah,
that was pretty much it. So that was pretty cool. So that's why, we did not get home. I will say that we got there at 4, and apparently have quite a lot of supplies on the boat because we kept drinking wine and it never ran out. So but we got home and, you know, that it was fine. We got home like at 1 in the morning that time.
Excellent. So, anyway, we do have a couple topics. First of all, we have a few pieces of feedback that might prompt some further conversation. We'll see. We'll start out with that. Once we get past that, we have a story that I introduced to Yvonne by saying it was the naked CMU Pope chick.
Right. That just grabbed my interest right there. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't need anything else.
Yeah, and apparently he hadn't been following this story. And many of you out there may not be, because I found out about this through various, you know, alumni, blah, blah, blah things. Because, of course, Yvonne and I went to Carnegie Mellon.
Yes.
And so that's how I found out about it. I'm not sure it's made the global news otherwise. Although my wife did, like, point out an article about it. So she saw it somewhere. Anyway, we'll get into that. And we're going to talk kids and guns, because that's come up a little bit. And before we like get into everything else, I want to mention, I guess, a couple of, first of all, there are a couple things we're not talking about this week, or at least we're not scheduled to. So let me just say right now, we're not going to talk about Syria. A lot of stuff happened in Syria, but I don't know that there's anything that really will change anything Yvonne and I have said in the past.
We just wouldn't have anything really to add, to be honest with you.
I mean, there's stuff going on. It's still a fucking mess. It'll still be, it'll be an even worse mess if we get involved.
Right.
And I think that stays the same. We had that basketball player who came out as gay.
Right.
You know,
but good he came out as gay.
You know,
that's it.
And that trend's going to continue because this is more and more accepted in American society. And, you know, great knock on that first door, and there'll be more to come. I think you and I are agreed on that too.
Yep.
That's probably everything there is to say there. They had the dramatic thing in Cleveland where these three women and a couple additional children were rescued from a house where they'd been held hostage, the older ones, for a decade or so.
Yep.
That's very dramatic, and it's been interesting to follow. And the guy who rescued them, who's been interviewed, is a hoot. It's fun to watch his interview. But again, I don't know that we have that much to add there. I've been reading a little bit.
Liberated.
It's a tragedy. Like it was horrible for them. And it's also apparently there's more coming out that there are various things that people had been calling the police about weird things at this house for years and they'd never followed up. And so that's kind of maddening, but you know, yeah. Cause you know, if the police had actually knocked on the door and gone in, they would have found these guys 2 or 3 years ago. But but there's not much else to add there. We also had Stephen Colbert's sister defeated by Appalachian Trail Mark Sanford in South Carolina. That news came in just within the hour before we were recording the show. You know, he gets to walk the trail again, I guess.
Yep. There you go.
And it's interesting to note, just as a follow-up to that, you know, he actually married the girl he was having the affair with.
Yeah, true. He did do that.
Yeah,
and they'll get divorced in 2 years, and you know.
we'll see. You know, this may be true.
I'm sorry, but you know, come from experience. I mean, she is Argentinian. She will get divorced in 2 years. Anyway, all right.
Anyway, so we don't have much to say about those. So I just wasted time by telling you about all of them. But I wanted to explain why we're not talking about them. Then a couple really short ones. One. Every day since we had the prediction show at the beginning of the year,
yeah,
I have regretted forgetting to make one particular prediction.
Which was?
Which I cannot prove that I would have made on that day because I've never said it.
Well, because you didn't make it.
I didn't make it, so it doesn't count. But
what the fuck was the prediction?
That before the end of this year, you could buy Twinkies again.
Oh, well, shit. We probably
would have agreed on that.
Yeah, we probably would have agreed on that.
But it was announced in this last week that production is indeed beginning on Twinkies again.
Well, that's why all these fucking people saying, oh, the unions killed the Twinkies, oh, whatever. Oh, bullshit. Jesus Christ. Look, that company had been very badly run for a long time. They did a very ill-timed LBO. They larded up the company with debt. They were trying to basically...
And they had some union issues.
And they had some union issues, but the union issues weren't really the problem. I mean, you know, they were basically trying to squeeze... They were trying to... There was just no... What they wanted... there was just no way to make it work. They were belly up. I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, it didn't matter. You have to start over.
But so, they had a valuable brand, and right. There was never really any question somebody would pick that up.
If somebody, you know, somebody just without the fucking, you know, the debts and shit, the crap that they had from before, they would have made it a go. And I mean, there were multiple companies that were trying to buy them.
So if you're one of these people hoarding Twinkies in hopes of the resale value going up, your stock just crashed.
Yeah, exactly. Basically.
Yeah, and I know Twinkies are good for 100 years or whatever, but I'm sorry, a new one's still better, I guess. I don't know.
There you go. Maybe you can start hoarding Bitcoins.
There might be new features on the new Twinkie.
Oh, yeah.
Like an extra little curl or, I don't know, something. No, it's the cupcakes that had curls. Sorry.
Yeah, whatever.
Are they coming back, too? I like the cupcakes better than the Twinkies.
I'm sure all those that sold will come back.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's see. Might have been a whole topic, but I don't think there's enough to say that. As those of you who follow my blog know, I've been going through a process of reorganizing my garage, which was just a disaster because it was all shoved in there when we didn't have enough time.
I saw the pictures.
Did you see the before pictures?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, look, I am exhausted right now because aside from going and, like, our gym class... a Brazilian lady that is in incredibly much better shape than me and the other guy in the class joined the class today. Uh-huh. The professor kicked it up like 10 notches. Look, this lady could we were doing squats with 150 pounds.
She kicked your ass.
She was doing 240 pound squats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, and not break. And so I get home. Our garage actually here got a little bit flooded. We had a very bad storm last week, and I had about an inch of water on the floor of the garage, and there was like leaves and stuff and whatever, and it stank. And my wife, I got home, and as I pulled in home, she said, "Honey, you got to do something about this garage. The smell's just disgusting." Okay, so I got home and I cleaned it up. But believe me, look, I'm sorry, but there is, I have. My garage is the most organized item in the world compared to your thing that I saw. That was unbelievable.
Well,
I got
you see, it started by like when we were moving last, we started putting things in place the right way. And then we got to a point where we were running out of time. Like we had to be out of the old place. We had to return.
So you were like, fuck it.
So we were like, fuck it. And we just threw stuff in there. And then it's been a year and a half since then, and every once in a while when I needed something, I would just root through the damn thing trying to find what I needed. And when I needed to put something back in, there was no good place to put it, so I just threw it in. Okay, so it got worse over the course of the last year and a half. And I made a commitment to myself that the first weekend that was warm, sunny, and no rain, I would fix this.
Okay.
So on Saturday, I started emptying the garage. And it took me, 28 hours of calendar time, but I slept and took breaks in the time period. Probably 16 hours of actual working time to empty the garage. And this is just me. Like, my wife has a bad back, and, you know, my daughter, who knows what the hell she's doing. So this was just me. And of course, my son is 3. You know, 16 hours or so of moving boxes, moving furniture, moving random loose crap into the driveway, because there's nowhere else to put it. So I just filled up the driveway, and I posted a second picture showing, once the garage was empty, what the driveway looked like. And then the idea is put it all back, but put it all back in an organized fashion. And just so you know, at this very moment, it's now Wednesday, because I sort of ran out of time in the weekend. All of the boxes are back in. All of the plastic bins are back in. And I did all the intact, beautiful boxes first. And then I did like the boxes that were kind of broken or didn't have tops or whatever. And now I'm at the point where what I have to do is go through all the loose shit that isn't in any sort of container at all and do something with it. Now, some of it may go straight into the trash. But some of it's going back in the garage, but I have to put it back in some sort of way that's other than making a big pile in the middle of the floor. And then I'm putting all the random furniture back. Now, almost all of the furniture we intend to donate or dispose of, or, you know, if it's in decent shape, donate it. If it's crap, just have somebody take it away. So that's the last thing I'm going to put back in, because I want it easily accessible for somebody to pull up a truck and just take the shit. So I've probably got another 6 or 7 hours of work, but now I'm back at work during the day. It's scheduled to rain on Saturday. So I've got a deadline.
How much stuff do you got outside? Basically percentage of what you took out.
Half. 40%.
Fuck.
But the thing is, like, maybe it's hard to judge percentages. Like, in terms of mass, like, I've put back like probably over 100 boxes, but like it's the stuff that's left.
Why can't you? I mean, are you telling me that you really cannot throw out any of this shit?
Because no. Here's my expectation, and I didn't expect to spend this much time talking about this. I was just introducing the fact of something else. But look, I fully expect that of the stuff that's in boxes, all the boxes I just put back, 80%, I am probably willing to throw away at this point. The problem is, it's not organized by box. It's all mixed up together. So in order to actually identify which 20% I want to keep and which 80% I want to throw away, I have to actually look through each box. I can't decide on a whole box basis.
I swear to God, at this rate, I'm willing to fucking find a guy, pay him a couple $100 and have him go over there and torch the motherfuckers.
So
just fucking pour some gasoline, you know, in the middle of the night, just...
Yes. Anyway, but now, like, all the boxes are really nicely organized. They're compact. They're not taking up that much space. It's awesome. And I just have to do the loose stuff.
Well, you may be able to actually do something that I do every day.
What?
Put a car in the garage.
Oh, right now I could fit 2 cars in the garage easy.
Maybe, there you go.
Maybe even 3 if one of them was like one of those
smart cars.
One of those smart cars. Yeah. But anyway, so it the boxes are perfect. They're lined up against the walls. They're neatly stacked. They're not organized by what's in them, because most of them aren't even labeled. But they're neat. They're nice. They're compact. And now it's just all this random crap. And then the furniture. And the furniture is going to take up a lot of space, but I'm not too worried about that, because almost all of it is going away. But right now I'm going to get it back in the garage, and then we'll figure out who to call to take the furniture and stuff away. Anyway, all of that, all I intended to say is I was cleaning the garage, and while I was cleaning the garage, at one point I dropped my iPhone on the floor.
Yes, you did.
And specifically what happened is I had my iPhone plugged in to charge, and it was sitting on a shelf, and it was plugged into a power strip. And I decided I needed to move the power strip, and I forgot the phone was plugged into it. So I yanked the power strip, and the iPhone went flying.
Just launched a fucker. Okay,
yeah, beautiful. And it landed on the concrete floor of the garage, and the screen got smashed.
Okay.
So the next day, I went into the Apple Genius Bar, and I made my appointment and all that online, and no problem. And I actually had to reschedule the appointment a couple times. No problem. I did it all online. I went in, they looked at, I also mentioned that for months now, there's been like a permanent tiny spot in the camera. Like every picture you took had a little tiny smudge on it in exactly the same place that no matter what you did cleaning the lenses, it wouldn't go away because it was an actual scratch on the lens or whatever. Anyway, I went in and the guy's like, okay, what's wrong with your phone? And I held it up and said, what do you think? I mentioned it also had the camera thing, and he's like, okay. And he writes down a bunch of stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, let's go. I'll go, get a thing. And so he brings me back the phone, and there were two interesting things here. One, he just hands me the phone. It's like, there you go. And I'm like, what? You don't, because normally like if you are responsible for the death of your own phone, it's not under warranty. This wouldn't be covered by a warranty anyway. It's like $200 or something to do a replacement with a at the Apple store, right? He's like, no, here you go. No charge on us. And I'll tell you, this is one of the things where Apple consistently gets all their high ratings for service. Now, they don't do this all the time, but they have discretion to do it sometimes when they feel like it. Now, I've paid full price for replacing my iPhone before after damaging it. You don't have to pay the full cost of a new phone, but it's like $200 or whatever to replace the phone. And I've done that before, but this time they're just like, nah, here you go. And one time when my daughter smashed the screen on her MacBook Pro, it was brand new. It was like 3 weeks old, and she smashed the screen on it. Here you go, free MacBook Pro. And the thing is, they'll go out of their way to make folks happy. Now, they'll still, they'll charge you when they need to, but they're nice about it. And every once in a while, they're just like, here.
But this is my point. I mean, that's why I don't buy any other shit when I can avoid to, because whenever I've had a problem, it's been like, oh, here you go.
Yeah,
done. I mean, I'm not going in.
They make you pay a little bit, but
maybe, but whatever. It's not like I spent like, look, unfortunately, I have my service with AT&T, and look, I got into a really irate discussion with multiple AT&T employees over the fact that for whatever the fuck reason that I still couldn't figure out, I added a couple of lines on my phone, my thing. They asked me for deposits. Now, I've had the account for like God only knows how long, and I'm like, dude, what the fuck? I mean, why? And I actually got to a point where I got pissed off a couple of weeks ago, and I fired an email to the CEO of AT&T. I will say they actually refunded my money after I did that. Okay? But the fact that it had to get to me sending a fucking email to the CEO of AT&T, I had to figure out how to find, because I didn't even know what the fuck his name is. I had to find his name on the internet to do that. I mean, that's annoying. But anything that's related to Apple, I mean, I'm sorry, I'll walk in. Okay, no problem. Done. Walk in, walk out. You're fixed. You're done. You're out.
They're just very good about that kind of stuff. And, and it builds loyalty.
Right.
Once you've had that one good experience where something went wrong and you're all distraught and you take it into the store and they're like, no problem, taken care of.
Yeah.
Then you're going back there at that point.
Agreed.
Agreed. And so I just wanted to relate my positive experience, because I once again had a positive experience at the Genius Bar. The other thing they did that was interesting that they have not done with me before, but I thought was a pretty good thing. They took my old phone, since it was still, you could still do stuff on the screen. It was, it had a crack, but it wasn't like completely unusable. And they had me on my old phone go into the settings and wipe the phone.
Oh.
And the reason, and of course, yeah, after, you know, asking me, you have backups, blah, blah, blah. And I'd made damn sure I had all the backups I needed. But, and there are two reasons for that. And I talked to the guy about it for a few minutes. One, of course, is if you do it yourself, you know damn well your stuff is deleted and there's not going to be some case where they give it back to somebody.
All of a sudden,
without
the naked pictures you took off, I don't know, or something,
right,
or whatever.
You know?
Yeah. Hell yes.
You know, I've been taking lessons from Anthony Weiner. Anyway, but yeah, one is to make sure you know, because there have been a number of things, not necessarily with Apple, but with a number of places, with hard drives, with phones, with whatever, that those things end up getting resold as a refurb or whatever, and they still have the last person's stuff on it. So making you do it yourself, you make sure you know you've wiped it. And second, it makes it so the Apple Genius guy isn't the one pushing the button in case you say, oh, shit, actually, I didn't have it backed up.
Right. Right.
You know, now it's on you. You're the one who's pushing that button. And before you push that button, you have to think to yourself, am I deleting anything that I need? Because if you are, you need to wait and not do it right then. You know? And so I thought that was rather clever. So anyway, that's all the short stuff I had, which all the short stuff has, of course, now, you know, taken forever. So let's take a break and then we'll do feedback and move on. We'll be back right after this. And we're back. So it's feedback time. Let's get
it's
the feedback,
feedback
before we
all right,
forget.
Let's get the feedback. Okay.
These two pieces of feedback are three. There's three pieces of feedback from two people. Two of them are about the most recent show we did, and the other one's from something older. Okay. So first of all, from the most recent show we did, this is our good friend Matt, who's been listening for a long time and has commented before. You guys talked about whether it was the right thing to shut down Boston because it wasn't done for other events like Atlanta. Big difference with Boston is that these two idiots set off the bombs on Monday, didn't leave town that Tuesday or Wednesday, and then got into it with authorities on Thursday night. And that's when they shut the city down. Not on Monday, but on Thursday night, after it was clear that they were in town and could be caught by such a drastic tactic like shutting down a city. And for that reason, I agree with shutting the city down. My company has a huge presence and office in downtown Boston. People who report directly to me work and live there, as well as in Cambridge, where some of that crap went down. And I was glad that I didn't have to convince them to stay home from work on that Thursday and Friday. Shutting down the city made sense because it was clear that these two guys were there and could be contained.
Okay.
And right. I think you clearly agree with Matt from what you said on the show the other week.
Yeah.
I think
I do.
I think I'm not entirely convinced. You know, it does set, I think, a bad precedent. Like, if this kind of thing happened every time there was an incident, I think, you know, people could just rely on the fact, hey, you want to shut down a city? Here's what you do. It like, makes a recipe.
I mean, you want to shut down a city. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, you want to get your ass caught and kicked and killed. Yeah, that's the precedent that you told.
Well, but like a lot of the people, I mean, they
look at the consequences from it. I mean, but anyway, we talked about this last time, but bottom line, so he agrees with me. He doesn't agree with you, but that's okay.
Well, like I'm not necessarily disagreeing. I'm just not so sure about it. Like I'm not ready to condemn the shutdown of the city. But I'm not entirely convinced that it was really and truly necessary, and that we wouldn't have caught these kids anyway, even if we hadn't done that, or if we'd done something much more limited.
Maybe.
Let me skip to the other comment about Boston, and then we'll come back. Matt had something else. The other comment, also from someone who's been listening and commenting on the show for a while. although not quite as long as Matt, sorry. Sorry, Bruce, is Bruce, who was actually on the show a couple times. He's also commenting on that show, and his comment was simply, Yvonne's comment on lack of sex is spot on. Hashtag 70 virgins await you.
Well, you know, I got a lot of people agreeing with me right now. What do you want me to tell you? You thought I was nuts, but that's the reality. Isn't that what they sell these assholes? Oh, yeah, you're going to die and you're going to go with the virgins.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the fucking bullshit story that they get.
Of course, like we found out, the older guy, as it turns out, was not even estranged with his wife. He apparently was, like, happily going home with his wife and kids after the bombing.
You know what? You know what?
Of course, yet that doesn't necessarily mean he was getting any.
Exactly.
I don't know. We don't know. I mean, he did have a daughter, but, you know, that's...
What does that mean? It mean nothing.
Yeah. They could have used a turkey baster.
Yeah, probably.
So he agrees with you. I think the more generalized point of not just the sex, but, you know,
I think it's
alienation.
Alienation and unhappiness, period.
Yes, okay? Alienation and unhappiness.
Is what I'm saying, because it's just bottom line. I mean, you know, you get that level of alienation and unhappiness, like I said. If you're really happy, you're fucking just going out partying, drinking, and getting laid every night. I'm sure you're not going out and thinking, oh, tonight I slept with two girls tonight. Tomorrow I'm going to bomb downtown. No!
They could just pump, like, Prozac or something into the water supply.
Maybe. There you go. I'd be okay with that.
Well, and this is one of those things, you know, legalized marijuana, you know, calm these people down a little bit. Well, apparently the younger kid was a pothead anyway.
Yeah.
And it didn't help. But
it didn't help. No. Didn't help. Well, you know, yeah, exactly. He was a fucking pothead. He still didn't help.
Anyway, so the other comment from Matt was on a completely different topic, responding to a show that you were not with me for, where I talked about the shutdown of Google Reader. And he mentions that he's fully made the switch from Google Reader to Feedly, use it mostly on iPad and iPhone, and only use the desktop version when having lunch at desk at work. It's truly not that bad. But I don't have hundreds of feeds, maybe 20 to 30, and it's not overwhelming to use. So I'll respond. I've also mostly switched to Feedly at this point. I'll occasionally still dip into the old Google Reader that won't be there for that much longer. And it's okay. There's still, you know, if I had both of them, I'd honestly still pick the Google one. I don't think it's quite there yet, but they've been actively improving and releasing updates practically weekly to address people's concerns and requests for improvement and blah, blah, blah. You know, there are a few things that it's still missing that I wish it had, but they're not like super critical. And it's okay. It's decent. It works. And I like, and you know, there are a variety of other options, but this is clearly the most active in terms of actively making improvements and also being on, you know, all of those places and synced. Like, to me, it's incredibly important that it's on my mobile devices and it's on the web and I can go back and forth between them seamlessly. And you know, it's decent. It's pretty good. It does the job. I'll be honest. I'm probably using my RSS reader now less than I was before. Now that I'm using mostly Feedly instead of Google Reader, it's sort of the act of transition has somewhat broken my pattern and my habit. I still look at it, but not as much and I don't find it. I find myself much less sort of clicking through all my stuff and doing a little bit more browsing and picking things based on the headline, which was not my pattern at all before. And frankly, it shifted the balance a little bit more towards Twitter in terms of where I find my stories. It's an adaptation. I have no doubt that, you know, given time, they will catch up to where Google Reader was and probably go beyond it. Because, you know, Google Reader hadn't done anything innovative to improve their platform in years. And so in the end, if you're a news junkie like me, who loves to have an aggregator like Google Reader or Feedly or something like that for reading your news from a whole bunch of different sources in one place. Something like this is critical. And the fact that Google Reader hadn't been innovating was a shame, and meant that there was stagnation in that space.
Don't choke on me, please.
Yeah, sorry. But because Google was so dominant, there were no competitors that were making any innovation either. Now that Google is leaving the space, you do have some competition. You have Feedly, and you've got a handful of others that are in that space trying to do stuff. And I think in the long run, that'll be good for it. Now, there is the whole monetization question. Google could run something like this at a loss because they could care less because they're making all their money from somewhere else. Something like Feedly or any of these other services are going to have to figure out how to make money. Right now, Feedly is free. You download it. There are no ads. This is Sam from the future with a quick correction. The Feedly app actually does cost money. It's a couple bucks. I had forgotten about this. I think my overall point still stands here because it's a one-time fee when you buy the app, not a recurring subscription. So I'm not sure how good that is for an ongoing revenue model for something like this. So we'll see what else they have to do. Or, you know, maybe I'm wrong and just the app purchases are enough to keep a company like that running. Anyway, back to the show. Which means they ain't making any money right now. So at some point, they're going to have to do something to make money. Either they're going to have to introduce a subscription type product, or they're going to have to start throwing ads in there or something. But it's not going to live indefinitely as a free product. And so it'll be interesting to see what they do there. Now, frankly, this is like, I think I mentioned at one point before, you know, there are very few things, very few single sources I would pay a subscription fee to read the content of, because there's so many substitutes out there for any one particular content source. There are a couple exceptions. Like, I donated to Andrew Sullivan when he went independent. And I don't do this, but I know, Yvonne, you pay the Wall Street Journal and I think the New York Times too, right?
Yes, I do.
And I can understand that for some very, very special sources with some unique content. But for the most part, most of the content I'm not willing to do that for. However, I would be willing to pay for a good aggregator. Like, if Feedly came up with a subscription plan that was reasonable, like, you know, and I'm trying to think what number would be reasonable to me. But if it was reasonable, not too much, I would be willing to pay for that, because it's the source of all kinds of content from all kinds of spaces that I rely on a regular basis. And I don't know, I'd do 10 bucks a month for sure. I'd probably do 20, although I'd start to grumble about it. Above 20, and I'd be looking for something else probably.
I think, you know, it's everything's like, you know, how much you're willing to pay for something, right? The other day, we have a highway that has variable tolls, right? Okay. And the other day, the toll was the highest I've ever seen. It was like $8.
Right.
And I was like, I thought about not taking it, but I'm glad I did, because the traffic was horrible.
Right. This was one of those lanes to get past everybody else.
Absolutely. And so you get a moment where people like decide whether they're going to pay for something or not. So you're paying for that kind of stuff. It kind of like reminded me of something that we didn't talk about in the subject. I don't know if you saw this news that Adobe was moving away from package software subscription.
I did see that news. I didn't really dive into it, but I saw the headlines.
I mean, and it's kind of like what you're talking. I mean, you know, we're used to getting. I mean. Everybody is looking for this recurring revenue and how to make money. You talk about how you're willing to pay for that. I'm like, but I don't know. You know, it just depends on what people are willing to pay for, whether they think that any of this stuff is worth it or not.
Right.
So, you know, so anyway.
Anyway, so that's my comment on that. And, you know, I think it's break time again. And we'll talk about, we'll finally get into the naked CMU Pope chick. And, you know, I will say, for anybody who's not familiar with this, while we go into the break, if you simply Google naked CMU Pope chick, all the articles are about this. So you could use that exact phrase. Anyway, we will be right back after this message to talk about this girl. Okay, we are back. So, I don't know if Yvonne's actually had a chance to look at any of this stuff yet.
I'll do it all right now.
But here is the really short summary. As a piece of performance art slash protest slash whatever, a CMU art student walked through the campus naked from the waist down and wearing a Pope costume on the top half.
Wait. But there was something else.
With her pubic hair cut into a cross, I believe it was.
Yes, it is.
While she was throwing condoms to the crowd. Now...
Oh, beautiful. Lovely.
And I'm looking at an article right now that says no photo is available of the nude Pope. But I actually, my wife showed me one the other day. I don't know where she found it, though. So I haven't found that picture yet. But an uncensored picture of the nude Pope, by the way. but here's the thing. So the local Catholic diocese sent a formal letter to CMU requesting that this student be punished severely and the university sort of apologize for insulting Catholics everywhere and that kind of thing. And at first there was silence from the university. The university wasn't saying anything. There were a lot of folks in the general community saying, this is shameful, something has to happen to her, something like that. Students were, of course, rallying behind her and saying, you know, that she was exercising her free speech right, it's protest, university should leave her alone. The university put out a statement, and I actually sent this, I'd seen this a couple places before then, but then they sent it to the entire alumni mailing list, along with other places, basically saying, we take this very seriously. We apologize for people who are offended, but we will do a complete investigation to determine if this violates any internal policies or blah, 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 before deciding on any actions.
She's smoking a cigarette.
Oh, you found a picture?
I found one of her naked, yes.
Okay, there you go.
I did find a picture. There is a couple of snaps of her, you know. Yep, definitely.
Oh, I found her. Yeah, I found the picture.
Yep, definitely naked. So just, there's a couple of her like puffing on a cigarette.
Hey, if you had already done the naked CMU Pope chick Google search, just flip over to the images tab. There'll be a couple.
Yes, there'll be a couple of pictures there. There you go.
Anyway, so I'll say what I think in a second. But first, Yvonne, what do you think?
It's freedom of speech. I mean, you know, look, I mean, I know there's some...
Now, there are some Pittsburgh municipal codes that she probably violated about indecency.
On public nudity? But yes. She was on private property.
She was on private property. But it's considered a public space, though, because, like, anybody can walk through campus. So it's still considered a public space, even though it's private property.
I think you know, she's on private property, so she was half naked. I don't give a shit. Look, if anybody wants to walk naked down the street, it's their fucking call. And it's not violating hygiene. I could care less. They can fucking walk, you know.
And I'll basically agree here. I was actually very disappointed that the president of CMU's response to the Catholic diocese wasn't, you know, she was protesting, get over it, fuck off.
Oh, come on. They weren't going to just say that.
Listen, I know they couldn't say that, but listen,
they said, we'll look into it. We'll see if there's something wrong. They kind of almost did, but they did it in a polite manner. Okay. All right. Okay. They don't know the laws. Come on. Really?
I mean, the way I look at this, and there were some, you know, I think when the Catholic diocese protested, they mentioned that, like, a CMU had cracked down on some sort of hijinks that were going on at a frat party just the week before or something like this. And they were like, if you crack down on them, why can't you crack down on her? And because I don't know what was going on at the frat party. So
I'm sure that it had to do with whatever the fuck at the frat party was, had to do with alcohol. And it was like and minors and stuff or whatever, which was illegal. But you know what? This is just somebody who's decided to express her opinion regarding the Pope shaving the cross in her pussy. Gosh, this is so fucking funny.
This is our school, people.
Yes, it is. shit. Well, you know.
Specifically, this is the art department at our school, and it doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
I mean, the art department at my school is like, one day I'm walking through, and I'm like, I don't know, I was just going to a class, and I'm just looking at it. There was some art and some pictures on the side, and one of the exhibits was of, I don't know, somebody shoving anal beads up somebody's ass.
That's lovely.
And I was just walking. You see, the thing is like, I mean, it's not like I hadn't seen that before. Like, pictures are like porn or something. It's just that I was walking to class. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, look, there you go.
You know, the bottom line, and to get a little
bit. We had Andy Warhol thrown out of school.
We
Because he basically was riding a bike, motorcycle up, you know, inside the classroom. I mean, shit. I mean, we had, like, people, I don't know, didn't we have some other naked protester a while ago?
Oh, yeah, while we were in school, there was I think he's dead now, but there was a guy that, you know, would I never saw him, but there was some guy who would occasionally do something. There was the more famous one was in, like, on the West Coast, Stanford or somebody, some kid who was going to class naked and stuff. That wasn't at our school, but there was somebody at our school who would occasionally protest and do stuff and whatever. You know, but look, to be serious for a second here. First of all, you know, college kids will be college kids. You know, it's part of the experience is figuring out who you are and how you relate to the world and doing a few wild and crazy things. And it's part of being in school, and it should be part of it being in school. But second, you know, and some people have said, you know, people are protesting free speech, free speech, free speech. It, you know, it's not a First Amendment free speech issue. It is a private institution. And they've, yes, of course. However, a university has the role of encouraging their students to think independently and to think critically and to have their own opinions and to push the envelope. At least that's what I believe that is part of the duty of a college.
And
they should be defending this girl.
Carnegie Mellon allowed us to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they did.
Not that. I mean, I didn't do that.
I mean, to push the envelope, you idiot.
Oh, okay. I was thinking doing the naked Pope thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they did. So, you know, I mean, we had a wide variety of people with different opinions and other things. And so, and you know, we respected those. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, even like, you know, we had the guy who used to protest against the war, who Vince? We all thought Vince? Was, yeah, we all thought Vince was somebody. Kind of a moron. And, you know, people kept sending him pizzas.
Even, by the way, people who also disagreed with the war, that I think both this was the first Gulf War. I think Yvonne and I, we were actually both okay with that one.
Right.
But, like, even the people who agreed with him in principle on his issue still thought he was a whack job.
Yeah, he was a whack job no matter what. I mean, he stank, for God's sakes. Jesus Christ, that he stank. Son of a bitch is in front of the damn room when he was sitting there. Like, and the thing is that he kept talking. You see, the thing is funny. This guy supposedly was doing hunger strikes. He was pretty fat for a hunger striker. That's all I said.
Anyway, okay? I think he's the one I was thinking of that passed away at some point.
He did?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a shame.
But anyway,
he was entertaining, though, and he had his opinion, and, you know, he expressed it. It is what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, I think this is exactly the kind. I mean, I'm not saying specifically people should go around in naked Pope outfits, but in general, like, universities should encourage this kind of expression. And again, not this kind, quote unquote, but in general, you know, hey, if you want to protest something, go for it. If you want to make a statement, go for it. If you're not hurting somebody else, if you're not being violent, if you're not causing a danger to anybody, then by all means. And like, I think it's a fundamental American trait that I wish was universal, but you don't have the right to not be offended.
By the way, I did not get this fucking email, by the way, that I sent to alumni. When the fuck was it sent? Because I'm looking at my alumni. I got all these alumni emails. I don't have it.
A few days ago, like, I don't know, last Thursday or Friday. I'll look it up afterwards and send it. Maybe you accidentally unsubscribed yourself or something.
No, I got a whole bunch of the emails here, Carnegie Mellon Alumni Association. I got them right here.
I can't tell you.
Okay, whatever.
I don't know why you didn't get it. But anyway, like, God. I lost my train of thought there, but, you know, let people be, and, you know, let
she
people express themselves.
She wants to shave her pussy looking like a fucking cross. She can fucking shave her pussy.
Oh, I know what I was saying. People don't have a right to not be offended. And anybody,
oh, that's right.
And
I mean,
anybody
find
who,
it offensive, it's your choice.
Yeah, like, okay, like, you have the right for, you know, nobody's going to force you to wear the Naked Pope outfit. But if somebody, you know, if you're a Catholic and somebody's insulting the Catholic Church, you know, okay, you know, didn't somebody say something about turning the other cheek? Just ignore them. You don't
That's
have
right.
to watch them. You don't have to go there. You don't have to get all up in arms. Just turn around and go the other way. Just like if there's something on TV you don't like, don't watch it, you know, and. But, you know, you don't have the right to not be offended by things. There are things that happen every day that offend people. You have the right for somebody not to hurt you. You have the right for somebody not to, like, you know, burn your property down. You know, you have all this kind of stuff. But you don't have the right to be protected against people who say or do things
that you don't like.
That you don't like.
Yeah, you're fucked on that one. I mean, I have to listen to a whole bunch of idiots all day, and I listen to it. What am I going to do?
There you go. This is Sam from the future again. I realized after recording this that there was, you know, one thing that I didn't say here that I usually say when I say the kinds of things I said in the last segment, which is the obvious retort that people often make when you say, hey, free speech, you know, right to expression, let her insult the Pope if she wants to, is would you feel the same way if it was about other things that, you know, maybe I don't care about insulting Catholics, but what if it was a group that I cared about or was a member of or whatever? And, you know, I just want to say up front, I'm a free speech absolutist. If they were spouting anti-Semitic stuff or racist stuff or, you know, or, you know, anti-science nonsense or whatever, I would feel the same way. Yeah, I might have some exceptions if they were directly, you know, trying to cause a riot or cause violence to happen or something like that. Although inciting violence in general is a very dangerous direction because, you know, a lot of conversation, like if you watch TV and people are talking about what we should do, when people are having those conversations about whether we should go to war with Iran or Iraq or whatever, and there are people advocating for it, that is, of course, an incitement to violence. It may be an incitement to organized, sanctioned violence, but it still is. And so violence is, you know, discussion of whether or not violence is appropriate and whether or not people should take action like that is fundamentally a kind of political speech. And therefore, that should probably be kind of protected in a lot of cases, too. Although, of course, you know, that's different than, hey, go lynch that guy. And that probably, yeah, you do get some gray areas. But anyway, bottom line, I'm a free speech absolutist. I feel almost all speech should be protected. The right answer to speech you don't like is more speech, not restricting speech in any way, shape, or form. And I feel pretty strongly about that in almost all cases. And especially, having some recording difficulties at the moment. In any case, it's the unpopular speech that needs to be protected, not the speech that people agree with. It's the speech that is insulting. It's the speech that goes against the popular opinion. It's the speech that lots of people say you shouldn't say that. That's exactly the speech that needs to be protected. And that includes the things that I violently disagree with as well. The ideas, you know, if somebody has the ideas, they should be out there. And if I disagree, I need to say that I disagree and explain why, not shut down the speech. And that goes for all kinds of speech. I'm against hate speech laws and everything. Anyway, you get the point. Back to the show. Okay. We'll be back after this. Okay. Break time.
Breaky.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, here we go. So I noted to Yvonne as we were doing the pre-show planning that I've talked about a couple times on the show the gun control issue. Recently, not talking about when the shooting happened in December or whatever, which was mostly about the shooting, not about gun control. But every time it's happened and there's been something in the news about it, Yvonne hasn't been on the show with me for one reason or another, or we skip over it for some reason or another. And so I thought it's been in the news again this week. Specifically, there have been a lot of news reports about kids shooting other kids. You know, there was a case of a 6-year-old shooting a 2-year-old, a 13-year-old shooting a 6-year-old. There are a couple dozen others. The one thing I will point out about this is I am somewhat suspicious of all the headlines about this week, because frankly, this happens every week. This is not unusual. Someone is choosing to highlight it at this moment. However, it does bring up the issue of kids and guns. And there was a lot of pushback on, there was this one website that was selling this rifle called a cricket rifle that specifically marketed for kids. It's smaller, it's lighter, it's easier to hold. They had a website that had, you know, they've got a pink one for the girls. They've got all kinds of pictures of kids with it. The big headline, my first rifle, you know. And so there was a lot of hubbub about that. And the website actually got taken, first it got inundated and then it got taken down, I guess. Before I get into it, Yvonne, and I know you and I come from slightly different places on guns. We agree on a lot of things, but we're not quite in exactly the same place, I guess. What do you think of all this?
Well, I mean, we have a big problem in this country with the fact that people think that the right to bear arms just think the absolute unfettered right to just fucking do anything you want with a gun. I mean, and I just don't understand why people just are opposed to just doing common sense stuff for safety at home. I mean, we're not talking about, okay, fine, you have the right to bear an arm. Why should you not be required to have a trigger lock or to be locked in a safe? or to, you know, to make sure that somebody doesn't accidentally go and shoot somebody. I mean, why is that? I mean, why the fuck are we marketing a gun to fucking kids?
Well, and here, I'll give you the one thing. This was a comment on Twitter. I posted, you know, I post these notes that I'm reading an article on Twitter. And I was reading one about this cricket company. And I got a response from someone with a username, username in use. And he said, Abelsmay, how do you teach gun safety with a gun too big for them? And I've been thinking for the last few days. I meant to respond to this, but I...
So how do you teach about car safety with a car too big for them, asshole? I mean, what the fuck does that make any sense, you dumbass? What? Oh, we should teach them about cars by using a little toy car?
Well, lots of kids do have toy cars.
Yeah, but that doesn't teach them anything about safety with a car, you fucking moron.
So what are you really thinking, Vaughn?
I'm sorry. You can teach people about safety. I teach people about, you know, when I use a boat. I teach kids about boat safety, and I use a real fucking boat. I don't pull out a toy boat, you fucking imbecile.
Well, these aren't toy guns. They're just smaller guns.
It's a smaller gun. Whatever. But you go and, like, you know what? I mean, first of all, teach it about gun safety. How do you teach a kid about gun safety? Actually, you know, I mean, first of all, you keep them all fucking locked. And you only grant them access when they used to. As a matter of fact, there were a lot of people.
And
okay,
I was actually gun owners
that were talking specifically about this, how they were appalled at the fact that these people had small children with guns unlocked in the house.
Right. And in one case, the kid was actually, it was the reason this cricket website came up was this was a cricket rifle that the kid had gotten for his birthday a couple days earlier that he ended up shooting his sister with.
I mean, I'm like, for example, I have my baby boy. Where do I keep the medicines?
On the floor.
Oh, yeah, of course. I keep them in the fucking highest shelf possible. What do I do with all the cleaning supplies? I have them locked. Well, you know what? Why? Because it doesn't matter. I can teach the kid about it, whatever. But still, anyway, you want to keep all that stuff locked because you want to use it during supervision. You cannot fucking give somebody that small to use a gun without supervision. I shot guns when I was that age. Okay? I did. You know what? They were handed to me, and once I finished with them, they were fucking taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not get to play with that. I did not get to do anything, any target shooting and anything that was not supervised.
So I'll tell you the answer I've been swishing around in my head, and I've been meaning to answer this guy for like days, but I've been working on the garage, and I knew I wanted to sit down and think about it a little bit. But I'm actually a little bit harsher for me. I'm more anti-gun than you are. And I worry a lot about the notion of the federal bureaucracy needed to enforce gun laws, but in the end, I still think my fundamental comparison has generally been I think two things are relevant comparisons. One is cars and one is tobacco. And in the case of cars, I think that any regulation that you have in place for cars is reasonable to have in place for guns as well.
Agreed.
And what's the reality here? Anybody who fucking wants a car can get a car. And even people who are not supposed to get a car, they can still get it if they try hard enough. And that's always going to be true of guns, too. But I think it's perfectly reasonable. Like, what do we do for cars? We have testing.
Yep.
We have licensing.
Yep.
We have registration.
Yep.
We have insurance. We have rules about when and how you can use them and when and how you can't.
Yep.
We have age restrictions.
Yep.
I think all of those things that we do for cars that, by the way, no, very few. Yes, there are some people who bitch about the fact that we have laws about cars, too. But it's a very small group of people. Most people don't even care. They don't think twice about those kinds of restrictions on cars. And you don't see it resulting in nobody having cars. And I fundamentally think that this is my comparison I make all the time. Any restriction that's okay for cars should be okay for guns too. And so, yes, that means licensing. That means registration. That means insurance. That means rules on when and how you can operate them. That means rules on when and how you can sell them. We do all of those things for cars. I think it's perfectly reasonable to do all of those things for guns. And no, I don't think that means that nobody would be able to get a gun. I think anybody who wants a gun will still be able to get one. And as people always point out, of course, you know, this puts extra burden on the people who follow the laws. The lawbreakers can always still get their guns, you know. And yes, of course, that's true. However, I think that it helps the situation. And this comes to the tobacco comparison. I think part of what happens here, too, is also, yes, we want to somewhat discourage use. Like, yes, the people who really want it are always going to use it. But I don't mind in the slightest if there are things that put extra hoops in the way that keep people from on a whim going in these directions. Almost half, if not half, I forget the exact statistic, but a very significant portion of the people who are injured by guns are not, it's not some criminal coming after you.
No, it's accidents at the home.
It's suicides. It's a lot of suicides. And it's accidental at the home. Because somebody, like in the case where the kid shot the other kid, they thought that the gun was empty, but there was one round left in it. They didn't check. Okay,
one bullet left. Hey, laughing, but anyway, all right, that's what that.
Anyway, but like but I'm okay with discouraging because I think it's actually a cultural problem that guns are as prevalent as they are. You said you shot guns as a child. I'm completely the opposite. I come from a family that I was raised from a very young age that guns are not something you have. I was not allowed to play with toy guns. Guns were not something you wanted to be anywhere near. And so my initial response to this guy was actually going to be, how do you teach gun safety with kids? Well, first of all, you make damn sure you don't have any in the house.
That would help.
And second, you teach them very early that it's a dangerous item that you want to stay away from unless you are well-trained and have a vital reason to be there. And if you find out that you're with somebody who has one, you probably, you know, and this changes as you get older, but you probably don't want to be there a lot, you know. And I understand, you know, there are certainly lots of responsible people out there, but I know, for instance, my kid is 3 now. If he gets to first grade or whatever, and he's going on play dates with his friends, and I find out one of his friends has, you know, a gun rack on the wall, I don't want him going over there.
I agree.
You know? And so I would, you know, if when he's 18, 19, 20, he decides he wants to go to a range and start firing some guns off and whatever, you know, he's old enough to figure out and be responsible for himself. But I'm certainly not going to encourage any of that while he's young. And I won't encourage it when he's older either. But at that point, he can make his own decisions. I'm in general, like we have with tobacco, I would not be opposed, you know, to television PSAs talking about the dangers of firearms. And what could happen? Just like we have PSAs talking about texting while driving and smoking and, you know, underage drinking and drugs. And some of these are stupid, idiotic ones. Like, I'm not encouraging, you know, good old fashioned Nancy Reagan just say no that everybody laughed at. You have to be realistic. And because, you know, if you just lie to kids and are like, you touch a gun, you'll die. Or you smoke a joint and you'll be a irredeemable drug addict. You know, that stuff's bullshit and kids know it. But, you know, realistic, like, I wouldn't mind, like, sort of working to change the culture over the course of decades to make guns less prevalent. And that trend has been happening, by the way, over the last 20, 30 years. The number of households with a firearm in the house has been dropping as a percentage of the U.S. population. And I'm okay with encouraging that. And I frankly feel better about encouraging long-term cultural change so less people want guns in the first place than I do about really ham-fisted laws trying to, you know, ban types of guns outright and stuff like that. I think that's counterproductive, especially since we do have large parts of the country that do have, you know, a culture where, you know, doing things with guns, hunting, having one in the house for self-protection, whatever, is considered, you know, the culturally normal thing to do. I think that's a shame, but that's the reality of the situation. And I'm more comfortable with long-term cultural change making that less true of society than I am with, you know, hey, let's go out and get rid of all the guns. I'm not encouraging anything like that at all. But I do think a reasonable set of regulations along the same kind that we have for cars is, I don't think it violates the Second Amendment. Nobody's saying you can't have a gun. They're just saying if you do, you have to follow these rules. And I think that's perfectly reasonable.
Okay. I agree.
And yeah, if you've got a fucking 4-year-old in the house or a 2-year-old or a 6-year-old or... You know, even teenagers, because teenagers are not exactly known for their responsibility and thinking things through.
Oh, they're fucking idiots.
You know, then I think you're irresponsible to have firearms. I think you're irresponsible to have them in the house at all, but certainly unlocked and with, you know, ammunition not also separately logged up. I'm like, what are these people thinking? And of course, what they're thinking is this will never happen to them. And for most of them, it won't happen. But, you know, it will happen to some, and it's easily preventable. Amy, he can stay right now. I'm almost done. Come here.
The dog snapped at me.
I know. Come here, Alex. Come say goodbye to Yvonne. I'm about to say goodbye. I think we're about done, right, Yvonne?
Yeah, we're done.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Alex, come here. Come say goodbye. Can you say... Well, actually, first... Oh, shut up, Roscoe. I didn't invite you to talk, Roscoe. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. This has been another exciting Curmudgeon's Corner.
Definitely an exciting finish.
Yeah, there you go. Well, as usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com with any questions, comments, thoughts, all of that fun, exciting stuff. And in the meantime, tell your friends, share us on social media, and have a good week. And we'll talk to you next week. Okay, Alex, now it's time. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Vaughn. We'll see you, everybody, next week.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
There we go.